It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Look at this Muslim people do fast in Ramadan or whatever the time they're doing. What they're doing? They eat whole night. And so, this nothing fasting actually. They change the day like a night duty they take. A daytime they sleep and nighttime they eat. And nothing fasting. And the same way in India there are fasting. And the Hindu people. But they're fasting. They don't have to eat certain food. But in the fasting, they eat so much different kinds of food, because fasting, we cannot eat this, we cannot eat that, but they have different kinds of food to eat when you are fasting. So actually, they eat more than the fasting day and things like that. So God said that kind of fasting, God doesn't want. Just help somebody. So in short, he says, if you fast and pray, and if you're fasting and not concentrating on the Lord, God doesn't want your fasting. But Jesus Christ did not say anything of these things to those people, but he said something else. Let's read Mark chapter 2, verse 19.
And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.
Now, I don't know the custom in here yet, but in India, there is a custom. India means I'm talking about Bombay. I don't know other states. There is a custom. When you getting married, the girls, means the bride, will have a group of people with her. And bridegroom has group of people with him until they get married. Now, 7 days or 2 weeks or whatever, they have time for preparation. So in that preparation time, each and every relatives will call that bridegroom to his house to feed him. And so all these followers, all these young people who followed him, they have to feed all of them. This is in most of the Hindu culture. But I think similar things might be happening in Jewish religion, because he said when the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast. Everywhere bridegroom goes, people give them good food, and the people who are with the bridegroom, they are going to be having feast. So that's what happens in India. So he says where the people are with a bridegroom, they are not going to be hungry. They will be well fed, and they cannot having fasting. So here the first time Jesus Christ is telling other people indirectly, they didn't understand, I am the bridegroom and these people are with a bridegroom. Didn't say they are bride, but he says I am the bridegroom, but the bridegroom will be taken off, then they will fast. And so, Jesus Christ did not tell these disciples to fast, because John's disciples were fasting, Pharisees' disciples were fasting. So the people coming and say, why your disciples are not fasting? He said, well, they cannot fast because just like a bridegroom with them, that's why they cannot fast. And then he gave a couple of other examples. Just read verse 20 and 21.
But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles.
Now somebody will say, why these two examples are given there? So what he was trying to say, what you trying to tell me to my disciples to do wrong thing, like the wrong fast the other people are doing and wrong thing, it's not going to help them. Because if you start doing something to do better, it's you are doing worse. You are fasting is not getting God's blessing, but your fasting is making more God's name a blasphemy. So he is giving this example. Your example fasting doesn't work, because they are doing wrong thing. I don't want my disciples will be doing the wrong thing. Okay, verse 23.
And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they, on the Sabbath day, that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did, when he had need, and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him.
Okay. Now here, as I said earlier, these disciples were hungry. Jesus also was hungry. And when they're going through the cornfield, they took some corns and started eating. And the day was Sabbath, so they are going to a cornfield. If you saw the cornfield, you know, they are like 10 feet, 12 feet high, and people going in. They are also Pharisees. You go to the cornfield, we'll come to cornfield. You go to the Levi's house, we'll go to Levi's house. You go to temple, we go to temple. Wherever Jesus went, they followed him and tried to accuse him. But Jesus had the answer for every person when they asked him a question. So he asked them a question. Do you know when the David and his army were hungry, what happened? Because they were running from Saul and they were hungry and they were almost fainting. So David comes to the high priest and says, give me the food. He says, there is only one food we keep, showbread, and that is only eaten by priests. So it's not for you. But he starts telling them, if you want to read in 1 Samuel chapter 21. But it's a long story. If you want to read, you can go home and read. Here he brings the people, and high priest starts saying, this is, we cannot give it to anybody else like that. So he said, you know, these people, they are away from their wife. They didn't touch their wife. They are holy. Well, we are holy people. We didn't do anything wrong, so give it to us. So the priest gave it to them and they ate. Jesus Christ is not saying the priest broke the law, but Saul found out the priest did this and Saul killed those priests. But the point Jesus Christ is saying, did you know that David ate that food they were not supposed to eat? Why are you saying in this farm, this is not a temple, this is not the high priest food, and they're eating, what's wrong? And they are saying you are breaking the Sabbath. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 2, verse 27.
And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
The Sabbath was made for man, and man was not made for Sabbath. What does it mean? Just like you keeping a dog, I give a dog's example. Now, dog is man's best friend. Now, why you keep the dog? You keep the dog so that he can protect your property. You have to take care of dog no matter you are sick or good. So you have to walk the dog, you have to take him to hospital, you have to feed him, you have to pay the money for the dog. So now, who is taking care of whom? Are you taking care of dog or dog taking care of you? The same with the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man means God wanted man to rest so you don't have to go to work. But they made it so difficult. Now some of the Jewish people today, they cannot turn on their computer or they cannot turn off the switch. That is difficult. They could come to work, but they cannot turn on the computer or turn off the computer because Sabbath day, if I do that, that's a work. So all this foolish law they're making, Jesus Christ is saying, don't you know this Sabbath was made for man? Man was not made for Sabbath. God didn't say, okay, this is Sabbath, now you do this for Sabbath. He said, I made Sabbath for you, so you have rest. This Sabbath business is pointing towards the eternal Sabbath, that one day we will have eternal rest. That is the meaning, but these people didn't understand. So he says, God made Sabbath for man. Man is not made for Sabbath. Verse 28.
Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
So he said, that's why the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath. Means we have to know what Sabbath is all about. Today also people are fighting about Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for mankind And so it should be useful for us, not should be obstacle for us. And now even though we are in grace period, there are some people, they believe if you go to church Sunday, that's wrong. You should go to Saturday to church. And they are fighting about it. The word of God says, we are not under the law, we are under grace. So the Jesus Christ is saying, I am the Son of Man, I am the Son of God, I have mastery over Sabbath, means Sabbath should work for me, I'm not working for Sabbath. So why are you bothering my people? Leave them alone. Book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1.
And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth.
Okay, now hear the story. Jesus Christ coming to synagogue. So I don't know they brought this man purposely, or this man came willingly. But from these verses we know, they found out the man with the withered hand, and they wanted to find out if Jesus Christ can heal this man. And if Jesus heals this man on Sabbath day, then they will find some excuse. They can accuse him healing the man on Sabbath day. Now Jesus knows everything, their thoughts, and where this withered hand man sitting, everything he knew. So when these people are thinking, let's see if Jesus Christ can heal this man. Jesus Christ said to this man, stand forth. That means he says, come further or come front. Now maybe he was sitting in the middle or in the back, but he wanted this withered hand man wherever Jesus Christ was. So as soon as Jesus called him, he came and he stood there. Withered hand man knew in his spirit that Jesus Christ wants to heal me. Otherwise, he won't be coming. He came forth. Jesus did not touch him, didn't do anything yet. Then Jesus knew these people were thinking that we are going to accuse him as soon as he heals this man. So what Jesus said? Let's read the verse 4.
And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace.
Now before they could say anything, Jesus Christ asked them a question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Now they could not say it is not good to do good, or they could not say it is good to do evil. They don't know what to say. Then he asked another thing. He says, to save a life or to kill. But they did not say a word because they were thinking we are going to find some fault in him. But before they could say anything, he shut their mouth, so they could not say anything. They just kept quiet. Let's see verse 5.
And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
Now here we see the situation. I believe those people are Pharisees sitting there. They are frustrated. They are angry themselves. So Jesus Christ, he grieved in his spirit. He became frustrated and angry. But here he says Jesus looked at them with anger and grieved in his spirit because of their hardness of heart. So they found out Jesus is not happy what we are thinking. And Jesus used the authority and power. He did not say to this man, could you please come forth so I can touch you or heal you. He didn't say anything like that. He just said, come forth or come forward. And the man came. And now, same way he is using the power and authority in his word. He did not say to this man, could you kindly, please, gently stretch your hand towards me? Didn't say like that. He says to this man, stretch forth thine hand. And immediately, as soon as Jesus Christ said, this man took the order and somehow some energy came to his hand and he stretched his hand. And as soon as he stretched his hand, the word of God says, the hand was completely healed just like other hand. So when you say stretch forth his hand, that man has no time to think that his hand is going to work or not work. And so he's going to stretch his hand right away and is going to be healed. So the faith and word of God goes hand in hand. He has to put his faith in action right away. Otherwise, he's not going to be healed. One time, and one man's leg was like a completely dried up like this man's hand. And this man was not able to bend his leg. So I stood there and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, in the name of Jesus, sit down. So he didn't sit. He said, if I sit down, my leg is going to break. I said, sit down in the name of Jesus. And he sat. And he got up. And he started walking. And so I learned something. If you try to say just like you are in rehab, do a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, and gradually your faith grows. Jesus Christ used his authority and power, said to this man, stretch forth your hand right now. And he did. And his hand was completely healed, just like other hand. Means now the identical hands, completely same power, same strength, and completely healed. And all of these people sitting there, they saw it. They saw these things. Instead of getting happy and joyful, Jesus Christ first said, is it good to do good on Sabbath day or evil? Now, good thing happened. Is it save somebody's life or kill somebody? Jesus didn't kill this man, but he saved his hand. So he did something good. And see what happened.
And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him.
Now, the hand got healed. The man is happy. The crowd might be happy, but the Pharisees are not happy. They left right away. And where they're going? They are going to the king's advisors or the king's people who are working very close with the king. And they are saying, you know what? I don't know what they said, but I'm just guessing. You know what? There is a man named Jesus. He's crazy, acting crazy. I want you to arrest him, put him in a psychiatric hospital, or kill him. Because this man is breaking our Sabbath and giving the wrong teaching. Whatever they said. But this is what they did. They took some advice, and what he says, they wanted to destroy him, just kill him. Let's read the verse 7.
But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea.
Now, here we see, last time we heard, Jesus Christ disappeared among the people secretly and they could not find. Now this time, Jesus is not alone. Now he and his disciples, getting out of all this synagogue and the hundreds of people sitting, how they can escape. So you can see somehow Jesus took his disciples and they were not able to catch him or his disciples. So see how God protects his people. Out of all this crowd, they could have get hold of Peter or somebody. They could not get hold of anybody, and everybody was completely, safely out of the synagogue. And now Jesus is saying, let's go to the seashore. So there we go, and the people crowd us, then we will do something. So he already said to one of his disciples, keep the small boat ready. If the people start crowding, they start pushing me or crushing me, so he would be sitting in the boat. So they will not come close to him. Let's read verse 8 and onwards.
And from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him.
Now can you imagine, he said Judea, Jerusalem, Jordan, and Tyre, Sidon, and some other cities' names are given. So you can see, so all over the country, people came to see him. So you have to see just like a big, big convention. And so the many people are coming and crowding him. And why they coming? Because they said they saw and they heard all kinds of miracles, and people are getting healed and delivered and set free. So the people are crowding. Verse 9.
And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him.
Keep the small boat ready in case I want to use it. Now people start crowding me or pushing me, so we will go in the boat. Small means he cannot take all the disciples. At least one of the disciples, Peter or James or John, they are all fishermen. So one of the person will take him, and when they go to other place, then the mountain is close by and he can go to the mountain or somewhere. And that's what the plan was. And so let's read verse 10.
For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues.
Now see, he says many people came and they wanted to touch him. They are coming so close and touching him, and he says many people had plagues. When you say plagues, can be different kinds of disease. Not one kind of disease, many kinds of disease. People came, start touching him and start pushing him and start going close to him. And the word of God says, verse 11, even the unclean spirits.
And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known.
Now here we see unclean spirits. Not one, but many. Now many people who got demonic spirit, unclean spirit, they're coming. And they said they're coming running, they're seeing Jesus and falling on the ground. They are not coming to harm him. They are afraid of Jesus. And they are falling on the ground and saying, you are a son of God. Now, can you imagine these Pharisees, highly educated in the Bible, and they're supposed to recognize Jesus Christ is the son of God or the prophet, but they want to kill him. And these demonic people or the unclean spirit people coming and shouting and saying, you are a son of God, and falling on their faces and is getting healed. If Jesus Christ wanted publicity, he would keep quiet. Let these people say, hey, son of God is here, son of God is here. But he says, don't talk, keep quiet. I don't want publicity. These people are already trying to kill me when I'm saying something good. And if they hear that I'm son of God, and you people are saying, and I allow you to say I'm a son of God. So he stopped them not to say anything, not to do advertisement. Verse 13.
And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12. That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach.
Now we saw he was near the sea, the boat was ready to take him. It's not saying here how he went to the mountain, but somehow he went to the mountain. And when he went to the mountain, I think he took some of the disciple, he says, whatever the disciple he liked, and he said to them, follow me. And he went there. Now in the Mark is just saying he went to the mountain and he wants to ordain the people. But in Luke, it's a little bit clear. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 6, and start reading from verse 12.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God.
Now see, here he's saying, he went to the mountain, prayed, and whole night he was there praying. So that means Jesus knew he's going to ordain some people in the ministry. So he, whole night, he prayed. And then, let's read further. Then he comes and tried to ordain people.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles.
See, Luke is saying, he went to the mountain, he prayed whole night, and after that, he chosen 12 disciples out of many and named them apostles. Now the disciples are followers of Christ, but out of the disciples, when you chosen some people for the specific job, they are called apostles. Okay, let's go back to the book of Mark and start reading from 14 again.
And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house.
Okay. Now, I believe these people also went to the mountain and prayed over them, selected them from other people, and made them apostles. And then they're coming to the home. But if you read in the book of Luke, chapter 10, this was not the same day, but some other time, he selected more people. Luke chapter 10, and start from verse 1.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Here we see, there were many disciples. Out of that, he took 12, made them apostles. And then he says, I want more people. And why more people? He says, the harvest is ready. The workers are few.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.